During his ministry, Jesus often concluded his message by crying out that he who has an ear, let him hear. He did that concerning John the Baptist in Matthew 11:15. Also, he did it concerning the parable of the sower in Matthew 13:9 and the explanation of the parable of the tares in Matthew 13:43. In his message to the churches of Asia, he concluded each with a similar saying. It went this way: he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And that's in Revelation chapter 2 and also chapter 3. So what is the point of this saying? It's like saying, you know, what I'm fixing to say is very important. So listen to what's being said so you can comprehend it. The way we would do it in our vernacular today, we would say, listen up. And there's always some joker in the crowd that would want to turn his ear up to the sky to be listening up. But anyway, that's the way we would get attention to get something important across. In Mark 4:23-25, he says this: if any man has an ear to hear, let him hear what he saith unto him. To them, take heed what ye hear, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that you hear, you shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. He's telling the disciples to consider carefully what's being said, because here's an opportunity to receive the teaching that would give them blessings in life and also give them the opportunity to teach others. And he says, if you listen to you that listen, you're going to receive more. And to you that does not hear, it's going to be taken from you, even that you don't have. And he said, well, what is it that they don't have that he's going to take? Well, there's two parts to Jesus' teaching. There's God's part and there's man's part. So what they will not receive is the part that God had for them in that teaching. And if they don't hear it, God's part will be taken away from them. It illustrates that Jesus had a problem that often exists here today. Number one, many people don't listen. And number two, they don't listen to the point of understanding. Many today don't appreciate the importance of listening well. It concerned Jesus in his day, and I think it's appropriate that we ask the question tonight: how well do we listen? And which brings me to our first point tonight. There are three types of listeners, and one is the dull of hearing, and that's unique within itself. Listen to the Hebrew writer, as he addresses the Hebrew children there, the Christians, says some of the Hebrew Christians were like this, because in Hebrews 5:11-12, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk of the word and not strong meat. That problem exists just about in every congregation today. And it's sad. And I guess one of the things that troubles an elder the most is you have Christians that have been Christians for decades, and they are dull of hearing, and they have so many talents that they could offer. But there's so much that can be taught to them, but it's hard to teach them because their hearing is very dull and they're not willing to open up and to listen and to comprehend what's being said to get the most out of their Christian life and be more pleasing to God, as a matter of fact. Isaiah wrote about it, such people back in his day, and Jesus took that to opportunity to apply it in Matthew 13, beginning in verse 13. When he's talking to the disciples, he says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, as I should heal them. I guess he's comparing that to the mind being obese like the body would be obese in comparison to the word and the body. It's where the mind gets so sluggish and so dull of hearing that you get slothful and you're just like dozing off and not hearing anything at all. And like obese people, when you get out of breath, you just get sluggish and you just turn your eyes and you just can't grasp what's going on. You know, when a person is dull of hearing, it's hard for someone to explain things to their understanding. This is going to hit home. Have you ever had any teenage boys? And you counsel them, and you can look in their eyes and tell that their ears are not hearing what you're putting out. And you're not getting any feedback. But yet, as a parent, you're going to go ahead and instruct and give them counsel anyway. But it's hard to get a point across when someone is not listening. You know, some people just listen to their own pleasing to satisfy themselves. They don't like the sound of doctrine, which often requires this kind of preaching that's mentioned in verse 2 up there. It says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. We've had some of that happen here at Oceanside. We had people coming in here and doing wonderful works, both with the young people and with the adults, getting involved in every program that you get involved in, door knocking and soul winning. And yet, after years of participating in good sound doctrine, the ears begin to itch and they begin to turn to fables and they begin to look and search out false doctrine and get consumed by it. And that's sad. That is so sad to see someone that is so faithful yet has turned into apostasy and against all the warnings that you give them. Those who hear with a noble and good heart. In Luke 8:15, but that on the good ground are they which in honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. We've had some of that here. They can hardly get out of the baptistry without asking that question. What do I do now? Man, this is it. I really want to get to work. And they're faithful. And they're actually doing their part and more. Because they're anxious. They received that word and they put it in their heart. And it fell on good ground. And now they're going to bring forth fruit. They've got to be patient because it will take place. The Bereans were listeners of this kind in Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things be so. We have the ability to do that now with the good help of Brother Marcus and Brother Aaron and Brother Klingenpiel. We have the streaming on YouTube that if there's something you don't grasp here, because Victor goes 90 miles an hour and then he stops. You know, that's only two speeds he knows. Let's go fast and stop. And it's hard to really take notes of him teaching and record the scriptures so that you can go in and search those to make sure they're so. But you can go on YouTube under Victor Askew or the Oceanside Church of Christ.net, and then you can go back and you can get that whole thing in high definition, man, and it's beautiful in color and it's good digital sound, and you can pick up everything that you missed in here. So there's no reason to leave here and say, well, I don't understand what he said because he went so fast. Then we'll go back and play it at your pace and play it over and over again until you get it. They were fair-minded and listened with readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures, and we should do the same thing. We should be fair-minded. We should come into the assembly prepared to listen, prepared to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save souls, and be prepared to take that we learn and leave here and do what the sign says. When we leave here, we go into the mission field and use what we've learned to the benefit and to the glory of God. Brings us to our second point tonight, the importance of good listening. Now, one, it's essential to being blessed. I mean, after all, this is why we obey the gospel, because we're looking for the blessings in Christ Jesus, the one who died for us, to give us the blessings that we are seeking. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 16 and 17, Jesus said, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear these things which you hear, and have not heard them." Can you imagine what effect it would be if someone like Abraham, or you can say Moses, or Daniel, or any of the prophets of old, if they could be exposed and receive the teachings that we're receiving through the blood of Christ today? How much more effective? You think that they would be dull of hearing on what we're hearing today? No, they would grasp that with readiness of mind, and they would be ready to go and appreciate the fact. Because during that day, when they were making these prophecies, they didn't know what they were prophesying. They weren't aware of what the end results was going to be. But we were reaping the benefits from all those perfected prophecies that come true from the Old Testament to the New. Paul says in Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And Peter says it this way in 2 Peter 1:3, "According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Want to know anything about life? Go to the book. If you want to know anything about spirituality, go to the book. Want to know anything about family dealings? Go to the book. Anything that pertains to life and godliness has been given to us by God through Christ Jesus. And we should take advantage of the instruction book that's before us that help us deal with our lives, both in workplaces, in homes, in communities, and even in civil governments. This is our tool that we can use to the glory of God. Good listening is essential to saving faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. You want to be pleasing to God? Increase your faith. You want to be pleasing to God? Increase your faith. You want to do good works for God? Increase your faith. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to increase your faith, go to the book. In Romans 10, verse 17. The Apostle Paul, the one that spent a good deal of his life, adult life, going about persecuting Christians, just everywhere he went, watching Christians getting stoned, and obviously was enjoying it because this was his religious thing. He was doing it with an honest and good heart, he thought at the time. But with all that he did in persecuting the churches and Christians, he was able to come back in Romans 1:16 and say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I hope that we don't ever get to where we're ashamed of the gospel. We have not been persecuted by someone like Paul during our Christian life. Oh, I know we get frustrated when we go to town hall meetings like that one taking place tomorrow night. And you see grown men that has gone through a lot of things. I mean, I'm talking about men around my age that would stand up and declare, "Let's take God out of this thing." And when Christians stand up and they plead their case according to the scriptures against perversion, and how someone, we had seven speakers from Oceanside one night get up and make their presentation biblically. And for one of them to get up there and say, "There are seven reasons why that we need to pass this human rights ordinance. Because God's against it, it's seven reasons why that you want to go and do something that's so perversive." But yet, they don't have any guilt. They want their 15 minutes of fame. The people sitting on that council that's going to be there tomorrow night, they want their name in the history books of Atlantic Beach, so that one day people can look back and see that they took part in this movement. But I would much rather have my name written in the book of life, where I stood up for God and I kept my faith, and see my name written in that book of life and get that invitation into that heavenly home where we'll be throughout eternity with him and Jesus Christ who died for us. Good listening is essential to bearing fruit. In Luke 8:15, Jesus says that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. We need to keep our soil fed. We need it, to use a crude term, keep the old mind fertilized there so that that word could be manifested in our heart to where we can bear fruit for the kingdom. There's nothing more exciting than to sit down one-on-one with someone and teaching them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing more pleasing than to continue the study after they obey the gospel. We just concluded this morning, we have a class for the new converts. It's called the Milk for Babes to Grow On. And we had a 13-lesson series back there that we concluded this morning. And that was so enjoyable teaching them in that class, or just leading the discussion, because it was an open-type discussion. Everybody read the scriptures, and we began to exchange the meaning of what was being said and how we could apply it to our life to cause our faith to increase and cause our works to be increased also. I guess one of the greatest essentials of good listening is to prevent us from falling from grace. It would be awful to go through life, most of your life, trusting in God and working, and you begin to slide off and just eventually fall from grace because of lack of faith, because I didn't listen, because I didn't comprehend what was being said. I was only listening to those things for my pleasure and not for the pleasures of God. This is sad in Hebrews 2 and 1. It says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time we should let them fall. Man, if we don't take heed to what we listen to and we don't apply it, and I'm an elder and I have been for about 20 years now, and I've been a Christian for 47 years. But because I'm an elder and I've been a Christian for 47 years and active, that does not mean that I will not fall or cannot fall. I guess one of the greatest disappointments that I had as a Christian was when I saw an elder fall. An elder took time from activities to sit with me and heat pads and put on my feet where I had foot surgery to keep them warm, and discuss life with me. The same elder, when I was in a public place one night, I heard his name mentioned, and I got close to see, to listen to what was being said. And one of the qualifying things for an elder is to have a good report from within and without. And I heard these two gentlemen said, I saw so-and-so the other day, and well, how's he doing? Well, he's doing fine. Man, I really like working for this guy. He was up front, God was honest, and there was nothing he would do for you. And that's what this elder was. But he told me one night that I'm 99% sure, Bill, what you're saying is true. But I'm going to go on the 1%. And he went to 1%. And Oceanside was born that day, or pretty soon after then, and we become the Oceanside Church of Christ. It's sad to love and have so much respect for one, to see him fall from grace. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Man, any time that we think we're standing strong, old Satan will move in on that weakest link and cut the chain. Brings us to our final point tonight, steps to better listening. One, from the opening announcement to the final amen, listen from the first to last. Usually when Glenn opens up with the announcement before the worship service, he puts out information that the latest he has. But somewhere between then and the closing prayer, someone might come in with the latest update on someone. And you might not pick it up until the closing prayer. Whoever has the closing prayer might mention something in his prayer that was not announced in the opening announcements. Or the final announcements before we go home. There might be some updates. If you don't listen carefully to everything that's being said, you're going to miss something that might be very important to you and could become embarrassing to you at a later time. Listen to the sentences and phrases and words, because they must be heard in the light of the context in order to be heard with an understanding. If you don't get it while it's in its context, then you've missed it. And it's all guesswork from then on. Now, this is going to be tough for you tonight, but one of the things is to look at the speaker, because this will aid you in keeping your concentration. And if you vary off and you wander, you let your eyes wander, your mind begins to wander also. And that will break your concentration. You're going to miss something. Closing your eyes makes it easy to nod off. Now, I know that to be true. I do that all day long. I mean, well, if you think you can rest your eyes and be revived, don't do that. It just people up here can see who's asleep out there. Now, we know this requires discipline, but it's conducive to developing a higher and longer attention span. And that's what it takes. You know, if you don't get something fixed, you get your mind fixed on something, if you lose your attention span, it's gone. Listen with faith. Listen with a willingness to accept and believe what is revealed from God's Word. If you have any doubts about it, I mentioned earlier, go to the website, go home and search the scriptures, do like the Bereans do. Always receive it with a readiness of mind and search those scriptures out to make sure that what you heard is the truth. Because sometimes everything you hear might not be the truth. You might pick up on something and discover something that went by someone else. But you can always go back and verify and authenticate what's been said by the recorded messages. You can get it on CD from here, or you can go on the website and watch it on DVD or video. Listen with the mind to act. Hearing must be accompanied by doing to be of any profit to the kingdom. I think James said it so good in James 1, in verse 22. Be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Looking into a glass and seeing yourself reminds me of the old Fonz on Happy Days. He looked in the mirror to see what he could correct. Saw himself so perfect, he said, "Ah," and he walks off. We cannot afford to do that as Christians. We are equipped to do work in the kingdom and bless God. And those that are equipped and able to do it, and you don't do it. James says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin, James 1:17. So, in conclusion, how important then is listening? When it comes to listening to God, it's very, very, very important. And here's why. Jesus said in John 12:48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Now, that's not motivation enough to cause you to listen up or to take heed. Then I don't know what else could motivate you, because the same word that we study, the same word he teaches us, is going to be the word that judges us in the last day. So the question is this: is there ever a time that God does not listen? Yes. In Isaiah 59:1-2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that he will not hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." How sad it would be when we get to a point in our life that God will not hear our plea. How well do you listen tonight? How good are you at listening? I was fortunate one time that when I was active in the military, it was a requirement that the senior leaders had to go and take an effective listening course. And that was enlightening. So that course, you learn what you didn't learn before. You learn how much you could miss by not effectively listening to what's being said or done. So I pray that we all will sharpen our skills in listening and pay more attention to what's going on, not only in the worship service, but what's going on about us, that we might take what talents we have, what knowledge we have, and extend it to those that are lost and in a dying world. How good it would be to fill this room up with newly converted Christians, bringing them out of the darkness of the world into the light of the kingdom. Boy, that would be nice. There may be some of you here tonight that has never obeyed the gospel. If you're willing to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, come forth repenting of your sins and confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and be submissive to him in baptism for the remission of your sins, you can become a child of God. You might be here tonight as a Christian and you haven't listened to the point that you should, and if somewhere or another there's a separation between you and God. John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we will confess our sins one to another, God will be just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're subject to temptation tonight in any way, we would encourage you to come now as we stand and sing our hymn of encouragement.
Oh, most persuasive.